Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. This is the reading of God's Word. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Let us hear your loving voice through your word, telling us the wonderful story of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through your word, let us see what your Son has done and accomplished for us. And let us rejoice and give you all the glory and thanksgiving. Through your word, let us have fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. As we hear your word, let our faith grow. Let us grow to the fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that your word, the gospel, will be preached correctly, and that by your grace, we'll all hear it, understand it, and believe it, and obey it, to bring glory and honor to you. Bless us and receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As we have said, verses 3 through 14, we read about Paul's thanksgiving prayer. And the verses 3 to 8 is the content of Paul's thanksgiving. Here we notice that Paul thanks God, not for himself or what happened to him, but he thanks God for the others and because of the others. Paul thanks God for Colossian church members and for their faith in Jesus Christ and for their love for all the saints. And he says in verse 5 that their faith and love are because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. See, the members of the Colossian church live by faith. God says, "My righteous one shall live by faith." True Christians shall live by faith. Then what is faith? And what does it mean to live by faith? Well, we talked about this. We started to talk about this last time. There is only one faith. Not many different faiths, just one. And the faith makes the one who has it to do something. And when we look at the Bible, there are at least three things that faith makes the one who has it to do. First, if you have faith, then it makes you to acknowledge and approve and accept and believe who God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, believe who God is and what He has done and what He has accomplished. Faith makes you to acknowledge and approve, accept, and believe the Bible. But as we have seen last time, just doing this is not enough. James chapter 2, verse 19, you believe that God is one. You do well, the demons also believe and shudder. So even demons have this kind of faith. They know who God is and what God is doing. And yet they're not saved. That kind of faith cannot save them. And demons, you say, "Oh, but Jesus did not die for them." Well, that's true too. But we gave other examples like Cain. Cain knew the existence of God. Like God was talking to him when he killed his brother. So there's no way he could deny God's existence. But he's not a believer. So this first kind, the first thing that we are talking about, what faith will make you do, this is not good enough. This is not enough. Second thing, faith makes the one who has it to trust God, to entrust himself or herself to God. See, you say that God is almighty and all-knowing and he loves you and he takes care of you, and then you worry all day long. Then the question to you is, do you really believe what you said about God? See, we must trust God. See, Cain knew that there is God, but Cain never trusted God. He never trusted God with his salvation. Actually, Cain hated God. So even non-Christians, Romans 1 says, in some sense, that they know there's God. But not only you believe the existence of God, that you acknowledge, approve, accept, and believe God and what he has done and what he has accomplished, you also must trust him. Entrust yourself to God. See, there is only one person we can trust, and that is God and God alone. I mean, you can't even trust yourself. I mean, you already knew that if you live long enough, you realize, I can't even trust myself. But you could trust God. Well, as a pastor, I don't trust you, but I do trust God who is in you. That's why I know that one day you're going to be like Christ, because I trust God who is in you and working in you. And that's how I trust you, and that's how you trust me. It's not that as a sinner I'm so trustable and you are also. That's not the case. But we trust God. Faith will make you not only acknowledge, approve, accept, and believe who God is and what he has done and what he has accomplished, but also faith will make you trust God. Now, we come to the third, and for that, we go to Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 1. It says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So, it starts out, faith is, then it gives you what faith is. It says, assurance of things hoped for, and the conviction of things not seen. First of all, the things hoped for and the things not seen. What are these? Well, if we look at the context of the book of Hebrews, then it becomes very clear what God means by them. When you read chapter 10, verse 32 through 34, it says, let's go there. Let's read it together. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. But remember the former days when, after being enlightened, you endure a great conflict of sufferings, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourself a better possession. and a lasting one. The abiding one, the lasting one, meaning the heavenly one, they were being severely persecuted, and what they hoped for was the things not seen, the heavenly, the eternal possession. Chapter 13, verse 14 says, "For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come." Again, they were seeking the heavenly city and the things. So the things we hope for in the context of Hebrews is clear. It's talking about heaven, heavenly things. And the things not seen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." The things which are not seen are eternal, meaning what? It's heavenly things. Thus, the things hoped for and the things not seen are referring to the heavenly things. There's no doubt about that. Then it reads, "The faith is the assurance of heaven and the conviction of heaven." That's how you could read chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, meaning heavenly things, and the conviction of things not seen, meaning heavenly things. So we could say assurance of heaven and conviction of heaven. That's what faith is. But here I prefer the King James translation and Korean translation. I think they have gotten it right. King James says, "The faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence or witness of things not seen." Rather than assurance, we have the substance or reality, essence. Rather than the conviction, we have the evidence or witness. The NASB translated here, "faith as our subjective act of believing." I have the assurance and I have the conviction. They translate it in a subjective matter. It is what I have. So faith is the assurance and the conviction. But King James translated faith as an objective reality, not subjective. So faith in King James Version, it witnesses the reality of it. If we follow the King James, then Hebrews 11 verse 1 reads, "Faith is the reality of heaven and the witness of heaven." And I think King James had it right. Here in Hebrews 11, the focus is not so much on the justifying faith like we see in the letters to the Romans or Galatians. But here in Hebrews, the focus is on the persevering faith. Faith makes the one who has it to witness the reality of heaven. Faith demonstrates the reality of heaven. Now, what do we mean by that? I know this is a silly example, and I say this often. But when you look at me, by looking like this, I witness the reality of Korea. As long as I live, no one can deny the reality of Korea when they see my face. Because if there's no Korea, then this kind of faith will not be born. Just like it, by living by faith, we witness the reality of heaven. So if you live by faith, wherever you go, by your life, you will witness the reality of heaven. Because faith is the reality of what we hope for and the witness of what we do not see. Now, how can I witness the reality of heaven? How can I witness what goes on in Korea as I live here in America? Because I want to, let's say, I want to witness what goes on in Korea, what is true of in Korea as I live here in the United States of America. What should I do? Well, again, it's a silly example, but I could witness what goes on in Korea by maybe eating kimchi. By doing that, I witness, I demonstrate what goes on in Korea. What is true of Korea, even though I am living here on Earth. I mean, not Earth, the United States of America. I know, silly example, but I want you to get the point. Now, what is the reality of heaven? What is true of heaven? How can we know? Well, only through the Bible. Bible tells us what goes on in heaven and the reality of heaven, how we are in heaven. See, only two people in the Bible went to heaven and came back, John and Paul. John described heaven in a symbolical language. And Paul says that it cannot be described with words. So do not believe those people who say that they went to heaven and came back and describe heaven in terms of this world. Run away from them. They probably saw something, but that's not biblical heaven. Because when Paul went to heaven and he came back, he says, I cannot describe it. If Paul cannot describe it, then how can he, who says he went to heaven and came back, how could he describe it? It's a lie. Do not listen to that kind of stuff. And John saw heaven, but he wrote it in a symbolical language. It's not that heaven's road is paved with gold. What John is saying is it's like gold. Understand? Because nothing in this world you will find in heaven. Period. Heaven is a completely different world. You know, I met some person, I think I read his book. He said he went back and came back. And he went to heaven and came back. And he's telling, like, his house is like 10 stories high. And if you are not a good Christian here, your house might be 5 stories high. You know, he says things like this. If heaven is like that, if heaven is described in terms of this world, and then whatever is in heaven is the same thing that you could find in this world, and then if I have enough money, that means that I could build heaven here on earth. No, heaven is not like this world. Nothing in heaven is like anything in this world. Now, heavenly reality then, it cannot be described in a physical manner. Because we didn't see it. We don't know. Bible doesn't tell us. But we could say for sure that In heaven, no one will, let's say, lie. That's heaven's reality, that no one there will ever lie. We'll always tell the truth and nothing but the truth. See, you have been saved, and you have been saved as the one who will never lie in heaven. That's who you are. And that life has already begun in Jesus Christ. You are a son of God who will never lie in heaven, and that is your present spiritual heavenly reality. That is what is true of you, heaven, even now, spiritually. And that's what you believe. So God says, show it, witness it. If that's what you believe about yourself, then live like one. Live by faith. Live according to what you say you believe. Thus, faith will witness heaven's reality. That's what Hebrews 11 verse 1 is saying. Faith will make us do this. Yes, time to time you will fail to witness, and when you do that, you sin. But even if you do not witness it well in your life, that does not mean your heavenly reality that our Lord has accomplished is negated or canceled or changed. Our heavenly reality is forever reality that has been already accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. And all that He has accomplished one day will be visible. But just because we don't see doesn't mean it's not accomplished. Just because we don't see heaven, it does not mean that heaven is not there. Your life here on earth must flow out of what you believe. It must flow out from faith. You must witness what you believe. Otherwise, our faith is dead. That's why there's so much complaint about Christians out there, because we say we believe this and that, but how we live, what we say, it doesn't reflect what we say, what we believe. Because we live just like non-Christians. We have same dreams, same desires, we do same thing. So as far as non-Christian sees us, what's the difference? But you say you believe all these things. Well, act like it then. You must live according to your faith. See, in heaven, there's no such thing as lying, young Kim. I will never lie in heaven. And that's who I am. And it's the fact. And I'm going to be like that forever. And that's my belief. Which means I believe that I have become that kind of person in Jesus Christ already. This is who I am. I don't define myself according to what the world says who Young Kim is. I don't care what they say. They could, you know, judge me as a poor. They could judge me as a weak. They could judge me any way they want to. I don't care. But the Bible tells me who I am. And because of salvation that Jesus Christ has accomplished, I have become someone. And in terms of lying, I have become someone who will never lie. This is what salvation has accomplished for me. And if that's my faith, if I believe that's how I am, then I need to show that, no? Of course we need to show. I mean, it's not like you need to force yourself. It's like if you're a man, then I could see just by how you live, how you dress, how you talk, I could see that you are a man. You witness that reality wherever you go. Just like it, show them that you are a Christian. Show them that actually God saves you and He has made you a new creation because you are. But living that way must flow out from your faith because you believe so. That's why you live that way. Lying young Kim, that is not who I am forever. That is not someone that our Lord Jesus Christ has made me to be. The true young Kim, the forever young Kim, the heavenly young Kim is someone who will never lie forever and ever, and I have to witness that reality because it is true of me even now, spiritually, even now. That is who I am. That's what I believe. How can I then witness the reality of heaven, the reality that I will never lie in heaven? Well, by not lying here. It's not that hard to understand. You see, brothers and sisters in Christ, for us, it's never morals. We do not lie because it is bad. That's not why we don't lie. That's the world. We do not lie because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished. It is all about what Christ has done and what He has accomplished. It is all about my eternal reality, my heavenly reality, my salvation reality that our Lord has accomplished. I do not lie not because it's bad. I do not lie because that is not who I am, because of the salvation that Christ has accomplished for me. How I live is always related to who I am in Christ. And it's not that I want to become that kind of person, but that I am already. And what I do is not to become that kind of person, but I want to show more and more who I really am in Christ. That's what I want to do. Because becoming that kind of person, Jesus Christ has already accomplished it. It's not you and I, we have to accomplish this. No, it's already accomplished. And that is what we believe. All God is saying is, just act like who you are. That's all. Unless that's not who you are. Well, then no salvation has come to you yet. I live by faith. It is about who I am, what kind of person that I believe that our Lord has made me to be. It is about living according to who I am in Jesus Christ, my true identity in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. Walking by faith is according to the Bible. The opposite of walking by faith is walking by sight. Walking by the things that are seen. Walking by the standards of this world. We don't do that. We don't live by worldly standards. We don't live according to what world will judge, how world will judge us. Because we live by faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18 makes it clear to us. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The things that are not seen are eternal. Thus, things that are not seen are heavenly. And the things that are seen are earthly. I mean, this is so obvious. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 3 says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, yes, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. If you really believe that you have been resurrected with Christ to a new life, God says, then you belong to heaven and start setting your heart on the things above. Because as far as you're concerned, if you are resurrected to a new life, this world is crucified to you and you to the world. This world has nothing to do with you. And then you might, you know, have some problem believing that, but give it some time. When you die, you will clearly know, oh, the world down there has nothing to do with me anymore. You will see. But don't wait until that time to believe it. Believe it now. This world has nothing to do with you. See, there are two realities for us, one temporary and one eternal. One is seen and the other is not seen. Which is more real to you? The reality that is seen or reality that is not seen? Which one is more real to you? Because both are real. But see, if you think about it, the things that are seen, this is all temporary. You're not going to come back here like, you know, 500 years later and see this building just as it is. It's just temporary. But things that are not seen, the things in heaven, that's eternal. It will never change. So, at least in your mind, you know that things that are not seen, that's more real because it will stay forever. And this, even though you could touch it now, it's not that real because it will disappear. Who you are and what you are in heaven is eternal. It does not change. And we must witness that reality. Faith witnesses the reality of heaven, the Bible says. So if you live by faith, then that's what you will be doing. We'll love one another perfectly in heaven forever. That is the reality of our salvation. That is what our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. We must witness that reality. We must love one another because that's who we are. In heaven, we will love our God perfectly forever. In heaven, we will not sin. In heaven, we are forever joyous. In heaven, we will serve God and serve one another perfectly forever. By living by faith, we must witness our reality of heaven that our Lord has already accomplished for us. And in order for us to, you know, witness all this, that's just how you have to live. You know, I cannot go around telling everybody, you know, I'm a girl. Because that's not who I am. Who I am is I'm a man. And what I do will show that. Who you are is a Christian. You are a son of God. And you are a citizen of heaven. You are royal priesthood. And what you do, what you say, must show that. Otherwise, we're just denying what Christ has done, what he has accomplished. And how can we do that? Well, when I say, let us witness that reality, of course we cannot do it perfectly. But as much as possible, we are to do that. You cannot go around showing everybody that you're same as non-Christian, same as citizen of this world. You cannot do that. That's not who you are. Faith enables us to possess heaven. Through faith, we understand, experience, and enjoy heaven. It enables to see our heavenly realities through the Word and believe those realities are our present spiritual realities. Faith is already heaven-centered, always heaven-centered. Faith is never this world-centered. Faith does not make us to focus on this world. Faith has nothing to do with being healthy and wealthy in this world. Because people without faith, meaning non-Christians, are also healthy and wealthy. It has nothing to do with faith. Even if you don't have faith, you could be healthy and you could be wealthy. But faith shows me the eternal me, who I am forever, how I am seated with Christ in heavenly places, blameless and righteous me, eternally joyous me, eternally perfectly obeying Christ me, serving Christ and loving Christ, never sinning me. See, brothers and sisters, this is not my imagination. This is my present spiritual reality that is already accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. By faith, I must witness this reality as much as I can. And faith makes me unfit for this world. Even in this world, people will say to a let's say, weird person, they say, like, where did you come from? They say, did you just fell out of the sky? What do they mean when they see this, and when they say this? They mean that that person does not fit. They are saying to that person, you are not like the people around here. You do not act nor speak like the people around here. That's why they say, did you just fell out of the sky? You should be hearing a similar thing from the people of this world. Say, what's wrong with you? Why you do that way? Why you live like that? And you say, because I don't belong here. I'm a citizen of the other world. I'm a citizen of heaven. And in heaven, we do things differently than how people do things here on earth. Our citizenship is in heaven, Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. We do not belong to this world. Brothers and sisters, If you do not see heaven, then this world is everything to you. I mean, if that's my conviction, that there is no heaven, and this world is everything, all my life will change, definitely change. I live this way because I know that this world is not everything. Because this world is everything, I'll be out there, even on Lord's Day, I won't be coming to church. Give me a break. Why? Why would I come to church if this world is everything, that there is no heaven? I'll be out there making whatever I could, you know, do to have this world as much as possible, because this world is everything. Oh, definitely, I'll do that. I'm a very practical person. But because I believe that this world is not everything, so the worldly success, it doesn't mean that much to me. It's all about preaching the truth, whether people wants to hear it or not. The people who belong to this world live according to this world, and that is so natural because for them, this world is everything. But this world is not everything for us, and we cannot live as if this world is everything. For us, this world is very uncomfortable. And I give you this kind of, example. And I often think about, you know, Jesus Christ, a sinless person, perfect, holy person, living in a sinful world, fallen world. I don't think it was that comfortable for our Lord Jesus Christ to live here. It's like fish. You bring it out to the land and then just throw it on the ground, and the fish just go crazy because that's not where he belongs. And this is how we feel. This world, I don't belong here. And you talk to people and you see how they live, and it's just so foreign. It's just something that you don't want to do that way. And yet your force is so not comfortable. The world does not understand us. They do not know what we're talking about. No matter how much you explain, they don't get it. All we want to do is what God told us to do, but world laughs at that, mocks at that. And we just don't fit. And faith makes us homesick. Faith makes us miss our Lord Jesus Christ, that we cannot see him face to face. Faith makes us to see the glory of Jesus Christ, which makes all the other things disappear. We don't like this world. Because this world denies our Lord Jesus Christ. This world disobeys our Lord Jesus Christ. This world rebels against our Lord Jesus Christ. They laughed at him. They mock him. I hate this world for that. This world is slave to money, slave to fame and power and pleasure. This world is filled with boasting of themselves. And that's all it was. Just boasting. And they start very young too. Starting from what school, what job, how much money, what neighborhood they live. It's all about boasting. As if that determines who we are. Brothers and sisters, worldly things do not determine who you are. It doesn't. Jesus Christ, He determines who we are. What He has done determines who we are. Now, this does not mean that we do not care about our lives in this world. No, we give our best in the task that God has given to us. Laziness is sin. But we do not have any lingering attachments to this world. We have something that is far greater, something that is eternal, something that is far better. And brothers and sisters, this is my question to you and to me. What do you believe? What kind of person do you believe Jesus made you to be by saving you from sin and this world? What do you believe? And all we're saying is that just do as what you believe. That is all. And if you don't believe, then I will not even tell you to do that because you can't. And even if you do, it's just outwardly, it's faking. But if you do believe, live according to your faith. Oh, brothers and sisters, faith is naturally heaven-centered. You must, through our lives, witness that this world is not everything, that there is another world, the greater, the better world, eternal world. And let us go out and witness that, to show everybody. And they will look at us and they scratch their heads and say, either they're crazy or they're dumb or they're, what is this? Why they are like that? Why do they live like that? Why they don't care about success? Or why this, why that? Because we don't belong here. I'm not a citizen of this world. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 38 says that this world is not worthy for us. That's what God says. He says that, you know, in order for us to live, you know, when a king visits your small town and that this king wants to come into your house and you say, no, my house is not worthy of you. It means that this king is just, you know, it's so far greater than the place that I could afford to have him. This world is not worthy of you, God says. That this world is not worthy to have you here. And this world will not have you here forever. You belong to heaven. Let me read you two passages and we'll end with that. Brothers and sisters in Christ, see, God has prepared a better world for us. And we're not living here to get the approval of this world. Why do you want to seek that? And what does it mean to us that when the world approves us? The world will never understand us. Let me read you a couple of passages. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 through 10. is two realities. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. See, in this world, you might look like you are afflicted in every way, but understand, you're not crushed. You will never be crushed. Second Corinthians 6, verse 9 through 10. We are regarded as deceivers and yet true. As unknown yet well known. As dying yet behold we live. As punished yet not put to death. As sorrowful yet always rejoicing. And as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. This is your reality. World might say you have nothing, and yet you possess all things in Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, let us live by faith. Let us witness our heavenly reality. I'm not saying we must live poor. No, nothing wrong with being rich as long as you live for the glory of God with your wealth. What I'm saying is that those things, things that are seen, ultimately do not matter to us. Brothers, even as we worship our God, we are worshiping with faith. We are witnessing the reality of heaven because this is what is true of heaven, that in heaven people are worshiping our God. Live your lives in a such way that when the world sees you, that they will see what is true of heaven. So, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for telling us what has happened to us and what is our true reality. Bless us that we may live a life that clearly witnesses what our Lord has done and accomplished for us. Let us live by faith. Let us give you all the glory and thanksgiving. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.